Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you invited us to be with you today. As we reflect on your amazing grace, your ongoing involvement in our lives, your invitation to us to be part of your family, we're filled with love and gratitude and the overwhelming joy of your presence. We are indeed blessed. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for having your hand on our lives. We stand on the promises of your truth and grace. As we pray, hear us as we confess before you those times and places in our lives where we've separated ourselves from you by thoughts and words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy, please forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that through Jesus we can stand clean before you. Help us to draw near to you in faith and help us to trust your Holy Spirit to guide us each day. Help us to stand firm in our resolve to serve you and be obedient to you as we live each day into your plans for our lives. Please direct us to be faithful to your will and word in our lives, in your church, moment by moment and hour by hour. Lord, you know the joys and the concerns that are on our hearts and that we've raised before you. We ask, Lord, that you heal us of the heartache in our lives. Comfort us with your Holy Spirit. Enable us to love you and to honor your name. Enable us to trust those whom we love into your tender care. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit to give comfort in our grief, assurance in our uncertainty, and the humble trust in your promise of salvation. Thank you for being willing to single us out to save us from our sins and to choose us as your very own sons and daughters. Lord, please direct our president and those who work with him to be faithful to your will and to your word. Please direct and guide them in their decisions so that our nation will honor you and put our trust in you. Please bless the people of your world to turn to you for your peace and your justice and your guidance in their lives. And we ask, Lord, to continue to bless the land of Israel with peace and protect the Jewish people from their many enemies. We pray for all those who suffer from religious persecution and oppressive governments, and we pray for children and their families in war-torn lands all over the world. Lord, bless us to be blessings. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to follow your will and obey your word. We ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers in Jesus' name. And bless us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's rather humbling to realize that everything that we have and all that we are is a gift to us from God. God has been so very generous in all of the aspects of our lives, even to the point of providing the means for our salvation so that we could live with him forever in heaven. We have the opportunity each week to give back to God through our lives, through our prayers, through our worship, through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. As the ushers come through the rows with the plates, please be generous in your giving to God, even as God has been generous in his gift of life and love to you. Will the ushers please come forward? Lord, we do praise you with all that we are and with all that we have. Thank you for your generosity to us, especially in the person of Jesus, who makes it possible for us to be restored to you. We ask that you bless the gifts and the givers and empower us to continue to give to you more and more each day, even as you give us the strength and the courage to give to you, so that your kingdom might continue to grow, so that we might continue to be faithful, and so that we can demonstrate our trust in your promise to throw open the storehouse of blessing for each of us. Guide us in all that we do, that we may give glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to be seated now and listen to the New Testament lesson that comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. This is the account of Jesus' baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is the day in the life of the church here when we remember that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. It's also the day when we take the opportunity to renew our own vows of baptism. Baptism is the first step in our public acceptance of Christ, and baptism is indeed a requirement for church membership. When you are baptized, when any person is baptized, all of the power of God comes upon you. When we're baptized, regardless of our age, we become part of God's family and come under the care and the nurture of the church. From the moment you're baptized as a baby, the Spirit of God surrounds you and leads you to a point of repentance and a point of personal decision about Jesus. When you receive the sacrament of baptism at an older age, or you confirm those vows that your parents made on your behalf, God has already surrounded you, and God still brings you personally to that place where you are ready to make your own decision to receive Jesus as your Savior. And then the Holy Spirit enters within you and continues to work within your life and through the lives of other Christians to help you grow and mature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what happens to all of us as we are baptized. God's purpose for sending his only Son Jesus into this world was to save us from our sins, to save our souls for eternal life, and to help us to begin a new relationship with God and with each other. God's plan from the very beginning of time, back with Adam and Eve, was been for individuals to be restored into a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus, God's only Son. It's hard for us to get our minds around the fact that we cannot restore that relationship with God by our own efforts. No matter what we do, no matter how nice we are, we cannot restore that relationship with God by our own efforts. Only God can restore that right relationship, and God did that, does that, through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. All through the Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, are accounts of how God takes the initiative. God reaches out in that first step to people with love and grace and invites us into a new life with him. God chooses us, and we are blessed. God has his hand on each of our lives. Baptism is one way that we choose God. Baptism is our response to God's grace. Baptism is a way for us to receive God's grace. Confession and repentance of our sins are responses to God's grace. Accepting for ourselves the salvation that Jesus bought with his life's blood is the best response to God's grace. And allowing God to change us, to help us to put away those habits and attitudes that are sinful and disobedient to God, that is the obvious proof for all the world to see that God's grace is at work within us and we choose God. I found that obedience to God is an act of courage. It takes courage to change. It takes courage to stay changed. It takes courage to trust God to help us change. It takes courage to stand resolutely and begin to live like Jesus. We can learn from the people in the Bible, and especially we learn from Jesus, that God's word, God's opinion, God's commands must take first place in our lives. If any of us are to be protected against the lies and the deception of the devil, whose only desire is to trick us into rebelling against God, we have to put God first. We must put God first. And the best defense any of us have against the dangers that threaten our soul is to not allow anyone or anything to replace Jesus as the center of our lives and our faith. We do that by spending time with Jesus in prayer and Bible reading. So I would encourage you, remember to read your Bible and pray. It's important for each one of us to read our Bibles and pray for ourselves. Don't depend on me to do your Bible reading and praying for you. I'll pray with you. We all have to remember to read the Bible for ourselves. We all need to remember to pray for ourselves. It's okay to ask others to pray with you. Just don't forget to pray for yourself. When we pray and when we read our Bibles, we are putting our faith in God to help us to understand His Word and to hear our prayers. We're trusting God and His wisdom to do the right and the best thing to help us in our time of need. When we pray, we're exercising our faith in God. The exercise of our faith when we pray, expecting God to hear us, makes our faith in God grow stronger every day. So remember, read your Bible and pray. Make a date with God for a certain time every day so that you can read your Bible with God. And if you have to miss that date, be sure to work it in at another time during that day. I don't want to be busy doing so many stuff. I leave God off in the corner saying, "Hey, Pat, what about our date? When are we going to get together?" I need to make a decision and a commitment right now, right here in church in front of all of you, that I'm going to read my Bible and pray and that I'm not going to forget about it or put it out of my mind. And I encourage you to make that same decision and commitment. You are chosen by God. God has His hand on your life. God loves you. And God only wants what's best for you. God wants to see you in heaven. He wants to see all of us in heaven. We need to submit our plans and ourselves to God for His approval and allow God to redirect our steps and our plans as He sees fit every day. We need to make those daily adjustments to the little habits in our lives so that our habits will not threaten our obedience to God. I found if I don't make the little adjustments right now when they first pop up, then I set myself up for a huge disaster where I will be in danger of turning away from God or even more hurting someone else's faith in God. I don't want to do that. I need to allow God to correct me. I need to be able to allow God to use me to encourage others in their faith. That's true for all of us. Ask God to help you fit into His plans for you. Allow God to give you the courage and the resolve to face each day, no matter what it brings. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Say it with me. This is a good attitude. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our attitudes count for an awful lot, and the Holy Spirit will strengthen us to have the right attitude, and we can say over and over, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." It takes courage to face each day, especially if we're taking steps to change our habits. Allow God to give you the courage and the resolve to face each day and to rejoice and be glad in it. God puts His courage in us when we need it. It's the presence of God within us who is that courage. We're courageous when we put our confidence in God, and God leads us in His time and in His way and according to His word and with His plan in mind for each of us. We cannot separate courage from placing our complete confidence in God. The two go together. What I found from seeing many of you and from my own experience is that the Christ follower who is truly courageous, the Christ follower who is truly resolute and decided about following Jesus, that is the person who has beefed up on God's word, the Bible, to supply and nourish her hearts so that their eyes are always open to see the Holy Spirit's leading. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Christ follower who is truly courageous has asked God to make his or her spirit strong by God's presence moment by moment and day by day. You are chosen by God. God has his hand on your life. Your love for Jesus is shown by your actions. Jesus does not take our free will away from us when we turn to him. Each of us must use our own free will to obey God. When you're thinking about your obedience to God, think about the fruit of the Spirit when your faith is challenged. Run them through your mind, name them. And if you can remember the song, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you run through those in your mind and as you remember the song, that will help you to stand humble and strong in your conviction to obey God. It'll help you stand resolute in your faith. When we remember the fruit of the Spirit, we remember that we do not stand angry and proud in our conviction to obey God. We stand humble and strong. Our strength comes from the Lord. We have decided to follow Jesus. Put God first. Sometimes life with other people can be challenging at best. Too often other people, even in the church, will disappoint us and break our hearts. Please don't let the tragedies and the heartbreaks in your life separate you from God or from the church. Put God first, especially when people disappoint you or break your heart. When busy schedules come or tempting distractions take over our attention, grab your attention. When they tempt you to not come to church, put God first. Come to church and worship. You're already here. Keep coming. Put God first. As Christians, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. I'm glad you all are here. For you who are watching online, don't be a couch potato Christian. Get yourself back to church. Take the action. Put God first, and God will strengthen your heart. Let God prioritize your time so that you can publicly worship him. Our God is worth it. Put God first. It's the love of God that makes the difference. It's God's love that makes the difference. God sent his only son, Jesus, to sacrifice his life to save each one of us from our sins. That should be enough to make us love God enough to put God first. As Christ followers, as baptized Christians, you can stand on the promise that God is with you no matter what. Take courage. God is with you. In times of difficulty and sadness, God is with you. In times of struggle or persecution, God is with you. In times of confusion or fear of the future, God is with you. In your decisions, ask God to be with you and help you to be faithful to God's commands and promises. When you read your Bible and pray, the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's commands and promises that you've read so that you can be faithful, so that you can trust that God is with you. You can trust God to have a plan for your life. Jeremiah tells us that God's plans for us are for good and not for evil. plans that are filled with hope and a future. You are chosen by God. God has his hand on your life. So today, seize the opportunity. Show God that you trust him. Show God that you love him. Take the opportunity today to tell God that you trust his plan and his purpose for your life. We read about Jeremiah and his call. Jeremiah was called to new places to do new things that he had never done before. His response to God was one of obedience, and that obedient response took courage. And Jeremiah found that he was not alone. Jeremiah went with God, and people's lives were turned to God. Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist marked the beginning of a new chapter in Jesus' life. Jesus' ministry started with his baptism, and Jesus constantly put God first and obeyed every detail of God's plan for his life. And I thank God that Jesus obeyed God's requirements for our salvation. It's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that we can know forever that Jesus loves us. It's because of Jesus that you and I have been chosen by God. It's because of Jesus that our lives have been turned to God and we have the name Christian. It's because of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives that we can tell other people about Jesus so they can receive God's blessing on their lives. We have the opportunity today to renew our commitment to Christ. God has chosen you. God has his hand on your life. God is calling you by name. You're being called to grow. Take God's hand. Trust God to lead you. Take courage. God is with you. You are not alone. And may your daily life and journey of faith be one of actively trusting in the one true, almighty, and living God. Thanks be to God.